this hand.
Did you know that? You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Now, okay, we talked about Egypt. We also talked about some. We had the gun at you, a gun out to your head in.
El Salvador.
Salvador. You mentioned something else at the very beginning when we met today. Some other thing like that. A situation where.
I don't know. I was shot at Jerusalem, arrested.
Arrested?
In Egypt. I was. I had 30 caliber rifle stuck in my. I was shot at in Israel. And that was just a random thing.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Well, what do you mean random thing?
Well, I was just carrying the cross. I was down at the...
I was just carrying the cross. Which is a sign of offense in many of these places, you know.
And
that's why they don't have the red cross there. They have the Star of David, have you noticed, on the trucks?
Yeah. And this pickup truck, they call them utes over there, utes with a canvas tarp over the back of it.
Yeah.
And somebody went by shooting out the back. And now whether they
just for the heck
targeted
of it?
Me... I don't know. I have no idea. All I know is that they went by shooting out the back.
Now,
did you see the Bedouins when you were there?
I saw some, yes.
Okay, now the Bedouins, folks, what a Bedouin is, you will draw. They've been doing this for centuries.
Yeah.
What a Bedouin is, you'll go by a corner out in the desert, and there'll be a whole city there.
Yeah.
With sheep and goats and cows, and you have tents. All these tents and everything.
Mm-hmm.
The next day you'll come out to go on tour somewhere, and the whole city's gone.
They're gone.
They just move. They keep moving. They're itinerant people, the wandering Jews, so to speak. Yeah. They are Jews, are they not?
There's Arab, there's...
Oh, okay, so they're not just Jews.
Yeah, no.
I don't know these things, but so when you're in Israel, did you... what stands out in your mind? And then I'll tell you what stands out in my mind.
Well, it's just the variety of stuff through the country. When I carried the cross, like up in the Galilee... The Arabs that live up there to have all those orchards and stuff like that, very gracious, very sweet. They would bring me grapefruits and oranges out of their orchard. And I've already got the cross, which weighs 76 pounds. I had my backpack and bedroll. You can see the one picture in here of my bedroll tied on up there at the top. This one right here. That picture there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so I have my bedroll, change of clothes.
Well, you have a wheel at the bottom of the cross. That makes it easier.
Yeah, keeps it from wearing off.
Yeah.
And stuff anyway.
Keeps it from wearing off.
And stuff. That,
That's the Empty Tomb. That's where I shot my music video.
Did you?
To my song, The Empty Tomb. Yeah. Robertson.
Oh, they were thrilled to death and allowed me to take the
And that's
the
you there?
Right that's me.
You're there about as young as I was.
Yeah.
What year was that?
That was 91. That was during the first Gulf War. That's why I was over there.
Okay, I shot my music video there. Yeah, I was born again in 83, I think like 85.
Okay, so you were there 6 years before me.
I was
there during the first Gulf War.
Yeah.
And stuff.
That's when you could go for $800 and stay 2 weeks.
Yeah, and stay a couple of weeks there and have a tour guide. But anyway, so I loved it over there. The Arabs would bring the oranges, and they'd hang bags on the cross. Well, the cross and my sleeping bag took it to over 100 pounds. Then they're hanging 20-pound sacks of grapefruits and everything. But sweet and gracious people.
And was that Jerusalem, near the Mount of Beatitudes?
I would have been right there. Matter of fact, I made camp there, just down at the bottom.
Do you want to know what happened to me on the Mount of Beatitudes? I feel like I'm getting to know a friend, so forgive me. I'm trying to connect with you, too. You know, I want to share some with you so you get to know me.
Well, I was on the camp there one night.
I was on the Mount. Oh, you camp. Now, that I did not do, but I was walking through that. It's a very strange thing. So a man comes up from nowhere. A smaller man, I would say, diminutive, and he hands me a paper bag and then just scoots off. And, I mean, you wonder in these situations where they go, hey, come back here. Anyway, I opened up the bag, and there were 8 fruit in the bag. There are 8 Beatitudes. What in the world would possess a complete and utter stranger to walk up to a guy, hand him a bag of 8 pieces of fruit, and there are 8 Beatitudes? I just think there's some sort of a connection.
Mm-hmm.
The fruit of the Spirit, whatever. I don't know. Yeah. Was it an angel? I don't know.
Yeah. You never know.
You never know. Some have entertained angels unaware.
Yeah, exactly right.
Now, by the way, as we're going along here from the time to time, because they cut these up into different various days, you play for a week here, we're talking with Rick Newton, Evangelistic Ministries, and he's been carrying the cross for...
48 years.
Oh, it's not 42.
No,
I misspoke at the beginning of this, and you didn't correct me.
Yeah.
48 years? 48?
1975.
Oh, man.
The House of the Rising Sun.
Hey, don't forget me when we get up there, because you're going to have some big mansion there. I don't know. you know, who cares? Yeah. Do you care?
No.
You know, they talk about Manson City Gold. Yeah. I don't even like, I'm not even impressed with gold streets. Yeah. I don't even care about, there's more love in little houses on the earth than there are in big mansions.
Exactly.
I'm sure you're like me.
Yeah.
I bet you've been in the homes of billionaires and kings and queens and, you know, whatever. Yeah, well, me too. And
funny stories, you know, on that. You
know? Yeah, sometimes you can sense, sometimes they have abundance too, but a lot of times there's an emptiness.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
There's more love in the
community. That's that empty, phony savior we talked about earlier, and the fact that some people's God is money. And I was carrying the cross. In fact, I was carrying the cross up in Canada. This was in 1988.
Where?
I was east of Toronto.
That's right. I did all my musical recordings up in west near Kingston.
Well, that's where I'm talking about. Just to the east there.
You're kidding. This is crazy.
I'm telling the whole story. Anyway, I was carrying the cross there.
Yeah.
And
was it the winter or the summer?
It was in the summer.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it was actually late summer of 88.
Snow's pretty deep up there in winter.
Carrying the cross, and all of a sudden I hear crunching of cars pulling up alongside of me.
Uh-oh.
And stuff and comes along. And so window comes down on this fancy car. I'm telling you, I don't even know what it was. You know, I'm in one of those fancy things. Comes up and the window comes down, you know, comes down. And this guy says, "Preacher, can I talk to you for a minute?" I said, "Sure." He said, "What is life all about?" And, I mean, here he's driving this thing. And he says, "I'm serious." I said, "What is life all about?" He says, "I have more money than I'll ever spend in a lifetime. In fact, I own the medical center you see up just ahead. But my wife hates me. My kids can't stand me. What is life all about?" And I mean, he burst into tears.
Did you say, "Let's go have some coffee together,"
and
or something?
I got down on one knee and talked to him in the window and just shared my heart of how Jesus changes. You know, the answer is not money.
No.
People think you can throw
money at stuff and it doesn't.
It doesn't.
No.
All it does is allow you to shop for answers in more places. I'm telling you, it actually can be a delay in coming to the real answer, which is Jesus. And I shared with him about how Jesus will change you from the inside. You open your heart and invite him to come and live inside.
Yeah.
And we talked for probably 35, 40 minutes. And he said, "You know, that makes more sense to me than anything I've ever heard." And we bowed our head at the steering wheel of his car, and he prayed and asked Jesus to come into his heart and be his Lord and Savior. You know, and
do you think he really meant it?
Well, if he didn't, he put on a good show. I mean, he was broken. I mean, tears and the whole nine yards and stuff. So
that's beautiful that he would have the humility to pull up and go, "Help."
Well, he was hurting, you know, and when you're hurting, when you hit bottom.
Did you find out who he was any time or no?
I didn't ask him.
Didn't want to know.
Yeah, didn't. That doesn't matter. I
mean, and how did you end the day?
And
just said goodbye or?
Yeah, and he said, "Well, thank you for taking the time with me." And we talked for a little bit, you know, and then he headed off. I mean, I've had rich and poor. I've had stretch limos pull over. I've had 18-wheelers pull over. I've had motorcycle gangs pull over.
Want to talk to you?
Yeah, they see the cross.
Beat you up? Anybody ever pull over to beat you up?
No, nobody's beat me up. I've had people cuss at me and swear at me and spit on me.
Do you think you ever met an angel along the way?
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
Well, you had a story with that or not?
Just 2 weeks ago when we began this mission of carrying – you know, the message of hope and praying over all 22 ports and harbors around the state of Florida. That's what this mission is all about.
Yes.
And stuff. At the very first one, we started in Pensacola, and we've done the Panhandle, the West Coast, around Key West, back up, and we're making our way up to East Coast on our way up to Jacksonville and north there. Anyway, there was a lady that said she was homeless and that came to the very first one in Pensacola. Sweetheart of a lady. And
knew her
scriptures and knew things and had it was a beautiful relationship with
a beautiful
Lord
heart.
And stuff, but yet claimed to be homeless. And she came and worshiped with us. Had communion with us and everything. It was beautiful. And I told her, it would not surprise me. I don't know how it fits in my theology, but anyway, she was just precious as she could be, claimed to be homeless. So be careful. Be aware. The scripture says in Hebrews 13, because some people have entertained angels unaware. And
you know, you never know.
There's
a story about this one lady. She was had two little kids. She's divorced, poor. It's Thanksgiving morning. They only have two hot dogs in the refrigerator. They go to the local playground. She goes, what am I going to do? I only have two hot dogs for my children. I have no money or anything anyway. So they're coming back to the little apartment complex, to their modest apartment. And the little old lady downstairs says, hey, I've been thinking about you all day long. And she said, I would like you to come, and I'd like you to have dinner with me, Thanksgiving dinner, okay? And she said, okay. So she brings, I want your wife to hear this, too. I want your wife to hear this, too. And I want you to listen. So she invites this little old lady, invites them over that night, and they have a great Thanksgiving dinner. And the little old lady also gives them gifts and stuff like that. Well, anyway, they leave, and they go home that night. Well, the next morning, the lady gets up and with the mother and says, I'm going to go down and thank that little old lady again. She goes down there, and she's knocking on the door, and there's no answer. And the manager goes, what are you doing? The manager comes around the corner. What are you doing? And she says, well, this lady, she says, there's nobody lived there in 6 months. And they open, he unlocks the door, and it's completely vacant. There's nothing in there but cobwebs. There's no furniture. There's no nothing. So
my point exactly. Beware.
Yeah.
That's right.
Angels are out there.
Yeah.
Angels are out there, and we encounter them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, praise God for it.
Now, you've been doing this for, I'm not sure what time we have. Okay, we've got about 25 more minutes. So you took up this cross at the age of 22. You've been traveling ever since. And then you were by yourself for how many years?
Well, different things that we've done through the years. Sometimes I go to places and I go alone. Other times, you know, I've taken my wife.
Well, when did you get married, though?
Well, Doreen and I got married 18 years ago. 18 years ago.
Children? And,
We don't have any. I have children from previous marriage and stuff.
So you had a wife that put up with you traveling around the world?
Yeah, and went along to some degree.
Yeah.
And so it was
because that's why I lost my relationship that I believe was a lifetime relationship introduced by the Holy Spirit because she said, oh, you'll be traveling all the time, and I don't want that. So she got married and had kids, and my heart was broken, still is. So be it.
Yeah. And it is what it is.
He says no one has given up land, wife, children.
You're the only person I've ever heard quote that aspect of
who will not
get
back a hundredfold in this life and the life to come.
Exactly.
Now, I will say he's given me finances to make up for all that, but I am a little upset that I don't have children.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well.
But, you know, he can make up. I mean, he might say, my only consolation is, well, Jesus didn't have children.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Welcome to Constitutional Conversations. I'm Dr. Brenda McMenamin. Why is it so important to understand the Constitution? Understanding the heritage and history that God gave us enables us to honor and obey Him so He can rescue us and America.
Congressman Elias Baldino said that he could not think of letting the session pass over without offering an opportunity to all the citizens of the United States of joining with one voice in returning to the Almighty God their sincere thanks for the many blessings He had poured down upon them. With this view, therefore, he would move the following resolution. Resolved that a joint committee of both houses be directed to wait upon the President of the United States to request that he would recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God. Mr. Sherman justified the practice as warranted by a number of precedents in Holy Writ. Mr. Baldino quoted further precedents from the practice of the late Congress. That proclamation declared, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor, Now, therefore, I do recommend that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country, and also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplication to the great Lord and ruler of nations and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue.